What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. I am Jason. I'm joined this week with Kevin. We may have a third man pop in at some point during the show, but I'm not going to spoil it just in case it doesn't happen, so we'll see. But as of now, Kevin, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good. That's the first I've heard of a pop-in for the third man. I heard there was a rumor.
There's a rumor, yes. It's still a rumor.
Is it Mabel?
Yeah, his ghost is going to join our podcast. Yeah. Hard to say what's going to happen, but if not, I'm happy it's just me and you. Unfortunately, Riley couldn't be with us this week. I would tell you what he's doing, but I don't even know if I quite understand it, and I don't even know if people would even believe me if I said.
Yeah, we're going to hear about it next week, too.
I'm sure, yeah. He'll give us the update on that and the PBR rundown. So,
oh, man. Did you just hear the people, like, stopping our show? Says Riley's been talking about that.
Oh man, no! I mean, it's fun. I think it's fun.
Riley, we shit on people that don't show up. That's how the show's always been. I've been shit on. Michael's been shit on. Jason, not so much because he's been on every show.
I'm always here. Well, the real question is going to be, what's going to happen when I go on vacation? Are you and Riley just going to do your own show? Do I get a replacement host, or do we take the week off? It's weird because it's right. So I'm on vacation 2 weeks before WrestleMania, but we'll have the week right before where we can have a show. But then I'm on vacation the week after WrestleMania. So either we're.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know, let's face it. I don't think I'll be able to record anything on my iPhone.
Maybe I think
we could just probably take a week or so, and we'll just let everybody know. We'll keep reminding people we won't have a show, and we'll, you know, be back on a certain date. And
I know, but it's just like, how are we going to come back 2 weeks after WrestleMania to talk about it? You know what I mean? Like,
I know that is, well, fuck your vacation. Record.
Well, I'm gonna be on a boat though. Like, I'm not gonna have internet access.
Oh,
we're going on a cruise, so I'm not even gonna be like.
You should have thought about that.
Should have, yes, but unfortunately, family vacations trump podcast, I guess. So I don't know. We'll figure something out. But anyway, that doesn't mean we can't talk about stuff that's going on this week. So. We are back. We talked last week a little bit about stuff going on with the Bloodline. We talked about AEW Revolution. No pay-per-views this week, nothing to really build to, but we still got a lot of story going on. I thought we had some really, really good wrestling shows all around, like all week long. It doesn't matter if WWE, AEW, just some solid shows. And it started with SmackDown, right? We finally got the confrontation, the face-to-face with Cody, Seth, the Bloodline. You got The Rock, you got Roman, and, you know, the promos back and forth. It was a real long segment. It didn't open the show, though. It was like halfway through it, right?
It closed the show.
Oh, that's right. It did close the show, didn't it? Okay, yeah.
Because they almost ran out of time, and they kind of did.
Oh, yeah, and he got the slap in, like, right before they went. Yeah.
Yeah, and there was video out there. There is video out there of multiple cameramen trying to tell The Rock to wrap it up because he was
going a little over,
repeating everything twice. So
it almost ended up like that Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart segment where Bret purposely missed the time cue.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily they hit it and he got the slap in, so it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, boy, again, still so much more to come out of this now because, you know, we talked last week about, I think we talked about last week or it's been talked about, you know, Seth in the background of certain things when Cody says this or that, like innuendos of like, is he turning or whatever. But I noticed, and I think maybe, I don't know if you did, but I know other people did. When Seth accepted, I don't know if Cody seemed too thrilled. Nothing was said. He kind of gave a look. So
Yeah, because he kind of like
something to think about. I might be looking into it too much, but
yeah, you know what I mean, like it could have been, but you know, Cody was going to accept anyway, so it could have just been like the I wanted to be the one since it's my ass on the line, basically to say it one way or the other. But I don't know, they kind of cleaned it up a bit. There's always going to be that. I feel like those two were always going to be that, almost like that, like Orton and Cena. Like there's always going to be, they're always going to find their way back to each other one way or the other, right? Mm-hmm. Like I feel like that's going to be their story at some point where they'll eventually find their way back to each other. But yeah, man, I overall though, the segment was great. I thought they did good. There's a lot of people that pointed out Rock saying something about Cody being so much younger than his siblings when his own kids are like 20 years younger than his oldest daughter. But
right.
But he's saying though, like Cody was an accident where like in his case, he intentionally had two daughters with another woman. You know what I mean? So I guess
right.
it's a little bit maybe of a different scenario, but at the same time though, his daughter's name's Teal, right?
That's a sister.
Well, I meant Dusty's daughter is Teal.
Yes.
So Teal and Dustin do have different mothers though than Cody, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, because I thought they had one more sibling, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but yeah. I thought Cody and Teal were same mother, and Dustin and somebody else were different mother.
Okay, maybe that's the case. I don't know. I was just trying to think of, but there's still a pretty significant difference in age between the two of them, I do believe. But anyway, it was still a good segment. You got some solid promos out of really all four guys. There was that little kind of cringy moment though where Roman called Seth a cross-dresser, and that got a little bit of heat from people. But I mean, he's been saying that without saying it for like the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, is that really a derogatory term? Like, that's just how you describe somebody, a man that dresses in women's clothing, right? Like, that's what you would call that. That's not anything. It's not like he, you know.
Yeah, it's not like he called him like the F word or
yeah,
you're queer. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
Remember when The Rock would call Kevin Kelly a Hermie?
Yes. Shut your mouth, Hermie.
Yeah. Like, I think he even like called him or Michael Cole an ugly hermaphrodite at one point in time. So, yes. I mean, different time, different era. But, I mean, again, the joke didn't hit. Oh, well, whatever, you know. The only thing is, man, like, so this is my kind of concern with where this is going right now. One, I mean, Roman's being very overshadowed, and I think there's a point to that. Like, I think that's part of the story is Roman being overshadowed. But the match of Cody and Roman has been very overshadowed. And I guess that's a concern. Like, if Cody's going to get his opportunity to finish the story, at some point you got to shift the focus. Kind of like how McIntyre did with Seth on Raw. McIntyre shifted the focus back. Like, hey, I know you're part of this tag match, but you still got to deal with me.
Right.
And, you know, kind of built that. Cody and Roman, I think, still need that moment to happen. Like, I feel like there still has to be some emphasis put on. I know the stakes in the tag match have to do with Roman's match with Cody, but it almost seems like the rivalry is shifted to Cody and Rock as opposed to Cody and Roman. So if Cody's gonna win, like, I feel like there needs to be at least some sort of shift in that direction to, like, really help kind of bring it together better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. So,
okay.
But I think we should talk about, though, I know we're going to, this is kind of all over the place, but how about the rumors are true? August 3rd.
Yeah, SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
Coming to Cleveland, man. I registered for the presale, so we'll see. Hopefully, maybe we can get some hands on some tickets. My plan is to see how much they are and then, you know, kind of go from there.
Well, hopefully. So I looked up Detroit's upper level prices last year. And upper level seats in Detroit last year were around $75.
Yeah, that's what I saw too. So if that's the case, I might be able to pick up a few and you know, just be like, all right, I got some tickets, who wants them? And then just start collecting money. So that's my plan.
Venmo you right away.
So I know my daughter will probably want to go, and I don't know about anybody else in my family, but I think Riley has said that he would drive down for that. So we'll see if that ends up being the truth or not. But yeah, I'm excited, man. I can't wait. And man, just think of the possibilities, like the fallout from, you know, everything that's going on. I mean, could we end up with Rock wrestling at SummerSlam?
I'll tell you what, if I was to think of I could see Rock and Roman.
Yeah, you can see Rock and Roman. You can see Rock and Cody. You know, there's a possibility there. You know, and if anything else, you know, what if Cody doesn't win at WrestleMania? Does he get his chance, his rematch at SummerSlam, and finally win it there? Would we get to see that? There's so many cool things that could happen at that show. I'm super excited for it. And SummerSlam tends to be like, that's where Damage Control returned when Bayley made her return a couple years ago. I feel like there wasn't some stuff that happened last year too that was kind of big. I'm trying to think of that Detroit SummerSlam. Like, I feel like there was like a return or two in there somewhere. Or Cena was a part of that. Wasn't Cena a part? No, maybe not. I don't know. I can't remember, but.
So. SummerSlam 2 years ago was the one where Lesnar left it up the damn ring.
With the tractor. That was 2 years ago. How crazy is that shit?
It's so still, I mean, whatever's true going on, whatever, doesn't matter. That to me is still one of the wildest things.
Yeah,
I've ever seen. Like, that's something that's like hardcore that doesn't hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
one thing that will be at SummerSlam is a Prime logo in the middle of the ring on the canvas, as announced on Friday Night SmackDown by Logan Paul, WWE.
All PLE.
Yeah, right. SummerSlam, WrestleMania, all PLEs. Now, I don't know if it'll be for every match. Maybe it'll just be maybe for his matches. I doubt it'll be there. But traditionally, in WWE, everything was, you know, up for grabs with the exception of the canvas. The only time I can remember even seeing anything was what, like WrestleMania 12. They had like a design in the, but it wasn't an advertisement. It was like the
logo. It was all logos and like, actually that ring canvas they cut up and gave away to people because of the Iron Man match and all that.
Yeah.
That canvas actually, yes, it had the logo and has some other like logos, but it actually had like, I forget what they said. It had like hundreds and hundreds of like, actually like logos in it. They were just like, faded and stuff throughout. Yeah. So like the more like close or up you looked at it or zoomed in or out, you could see more logos and stuff. So yeah, that's it. I mean, I think WrestleMania 13 had one. I think there's some WrestleManias. Yeah.
Couple of WrestleManias, but
yeah,
but never, like yeah. I said, never advertisements. So
no.
My question is, being a traditionalist, how do you feel about that? Different company, obviously, like different, you know, different philosophy, different mindset. TKO is all about the branding and making money.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it in AEW so much.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's WCW used to do it too, you know.
Yeah. WCW used to always, like, always had logos. They always had the Nitro logo in there. They always had the WCW logo. You know what I mean? Like, once they turned to WCW, like, I don't mind.
Slim Jim Casual had advertising on it, stuff like that. So
yeah, no, I honestly, it's
don't bother you.
No.
Yeah, I honestly like I always liked that the ring was pure, I guess, because sometimes when there's too much, it gets a little too busy. It is what it is. Like I hope it's not there for every match, because that was kind of an ugly ass logo to have in the middle. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing with Randy Orton, RKO and KSI, and then taking a drink, and he's like, "This is actually really good."
I know. I wouldn't find. Great. I've seen the cherry freeze drink, but so that's his newest one, the strawberry banana. Mm. Like if I ever drink a Prime, I like the energy drinks more.
I stay away from the energy drinks. Too much caffeine for me.
Okay. But yeah, I like to try to find one of these strawberry banana.
I did have so drinks. most of the Prime drinks I don't like that much. In comparison to Gatorade, but they're kind of salty with the sports drink. The only one that I really like, and people told me it was really good, and then I tried it and I liked it. I didn't like find it to be the greatest thing in the world like everybody else did, but the Rocket one, the one that's like, so it's like the flavor of those Rocket popsicles, the red,
yeah, the bomb pop, yeah. So that was like I think the first flavor he came out with.
Okay, yeah, that one's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. It is a little medicinal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty good. Like I haven't had a lot actually. The strawberry watermelon, the pink one, is probably that's the best
too. Yeah, that's decent too.
Blue's not bad actually. Because Ava randomly will drink one now and then, and she said she got a lemonade one the other day, and she said it was actually really, for like no sugar, like, you know, it actually it tastes pretty damn good. So
yeah,
she had got one like after practice or something the other day, and
Enough putting over Logan Paul shit, but one other thing I want to point out from SmackDown, and this didn't even happen on the show, but if you haven't gotten a chance, go to WWE's social media channels. Karrion Kross cuts a backstage promo. One of the backstage reporters caught up with him, and it was like on like the exclusive app. Dude, he cut a fucking killer promo. Like I'm like, where has this guy been his entire WWE run? Like, who the fuck was this guy? Like, it took me that back. I was just like, wow, this is the guy I've been waiting for. So I'm hoping we get more of that on camera, because what he had to say, how he said it, the way he delivered it, the intensity that he delivered it with was just amazing, and it was really good. Probably the best promo I've seen him cut at all, nice. Period. Even in his NXT days. So it was really good. So if you get the chance, check out WWE social media page. I think if you go to our Twitter, which is at Live Your Gimmick, that's LiveYourGimmick, Live Your Gimmick. If you go to, I think I retweeted it possibly. If not, I'll try and find it and I'll retweet it. But yeah,
it was really good. Watch Karrion Kross impersonate Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, I mean, that's good too, but this was more in context.
Okay, I know. I was just trying to give him a little more credit too.
Yeah, you know, he does a great Jesse. He does a great impression, that is for sure. Trying to think. So Raw, we already talked about Drew's promo with Seth. I thought that was fantastic. Drew did a really good job of bringing that back around. I'm really kind of digging this stuff going on with Becky and Liv. I mean, they had a banger on Monday Night Raw, dude. Did you see that match?
I saw a little bits and pieces of it. I didn't really watch much of Raw.
So. It was really good. Like, if you get a chance, go back and watch it. Like, it was a very, very good match. Great story all the way through. Liv did an amazing job. But Nia's still involved in the whole storyline. She's still in there. Becky and Rhea had a good one-on-one promo after the match too, so there was a little bit in between there. Kind of interesting. Did you see what happened with Candice LeRae and Maxine Dupri?
Yeah. So what? I mean, is this a work shoot? What's going on?
Yeah. So did you see where she got booed out of a Maxine, yes, Dupri? Sorry, pronouns, pal. Maxine got booed out of the live event. We might have talked about it last week, but she got booed out of the live event. Then a whole bunch of women kind of came to her defense and, you know, chastising the crowd. The crowd can do what they want. They paid a ticket to go there, whatever. Like, if she can't have thick enough skin to get over that, she shouldn't be in the business, right? But I've actually heard an interview with her. She did an interview with Chris Van Vliet, again, talking about Maxine Dupri. And this girl does have some pretty thick skin, and she's been through some pretty tough times in her life, and I don't think she's really bothered by the booing, and I think to a certain point she understands it, because she got called up super early. Like, she did not spend very much time in developmental at all before being brought on as this character. So it just happened kind of like that, because they needed somebody like her for the role that they were bringing her up for. And now that she's just been on the main roster, she's kind of learning on the fly, right? Mm-hmm. And she spends time in the dungeon with Natalia and TJ. And of course, she's got Gable and Otis are helping her out as much as possible. But she's still very green in the ring. So, you know, her matches have not always been the best. That being said, I think what this is just the storyline. I think this is a way of turning Candice LeRae heel. I don't know if Indy necessarily was involved with it or not, but... it makes sense, though. Candice needs something, right? Like, her and Indy have just been kind of stuck in the middle right now, and this kind of did something drastic to kind of boost her up to where now everybody all of a sudden is talking about Candice LeRae, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, if anything out of this, it's like I said, it's developing not only her, but it's developing more players for the women's division. You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, exactly. even if it's built as like a mid card, like something or whatever, but it's a story. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That can lead somewhere.
It's building stars without paying millions of dollars for them.
Yes.
we'll get more on that later. but then they announced the tag team. So, you know, the tag team championships are going to be defended in a ladder match at WrestleMania. The last time that happened was the Hardy Boys re-debut.
They're not coming back, Jason.
I know. But okay. It got me thinking, and I tweeted this out. Nobody replied to it, but a few people liked it and retweeted it, but nobody actually answered the question. What tag teams out there now, or who is out there now that you could see having that type of moment? Like, I was trying to think if there were anybody out there that could have that impact, that could have that return in that capacity if they were to do that again. I don't think they're going to do it again because they have enough like star power in this, but just in case, like who's a team that you could think of out there that would make an impact? Like, that I don't even know, like, you know, FTR aren't free agents, right?
Yeah, I don't know. They're not. Although, plus everything's going on.
Although somebody did bring up that Matt and Jeff's contracts are up.
Well, I'm sure they are.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I can't think of anybody. I don't know if you can think of anybody off the top of your head.
Really, honestly, just because, especially, obviously WWE is done a little bit better at having some legit tag teams, but like AEW is so tag team heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's not many out there. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to the match. I think it'll be cool. I think it'll be a fun match. Like, ladder matches are, you know, usually bomb. That's a lot of people to be in one ladder match, though.
So there is. So I missed that. There is a surprise planned, or
no? So they have qualifying matches right now. Oh. So it's currently, I forget. I think let's see.
Oh, I know. Sheamus and Cesaro.
Oh, there you go. The bar. Okay. Yeah. All right. I like it. That's funny. So
happened,
but... yeah, definitely not gonna happen. Shit. Oh, maybe nobody's qualified yet, but they're gonna have matches to qualify for the spots in the match. So it's the only people you know that are in it right now are Priest and Finn because they're the champions. But like Miz and Truth have a qualifying match. Alpha Academy has a qualifying match. There's and then there's a few teams on SmackDown. So there's going to be, like, I think two teams from each show that are in it. So it'd be, like, five teams total.
It kind of sucks that they're using this as another matchup. Like, let's get everybody on the card.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I think Miz and Truth have a good story enough with Judgment Day to have a one-on-one. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with you. You're 100% right. So, they do. And the one that I thought would end up being the multi-man match ended up turning into a one-on-one, and that's Gunther and now Sami Zayn. So at the end of Raw, they had a gauntlet match, and it was really good, man. You had Ricochet, JD McDonagh, Chad Gable, you had Bronson Reed, Shinsuke, and Sami. And man, I think everybody kind of connected with Gable's story with his kid. And even though, you know, Sami is our guy, and Sami has had his own story and stuff, it seems like some of the fans are very 50-50 on wanting Sami or Chad Gable in the spot. And I honestly, I kind of thought Chad Gable, like, I that was where I was kind of going, and it connected with me a little bit with the, you know, the whole kid thing. But I mean, I'm not mad at Sami either. I think both of them deserve to be there, and I think this is more of the next evolution for Sami, because if you look at his career trajectory, we talked about this a little bit with LA Knight last week, right? Like, LA Knight wasn't even on the card for WrestleMania. And like, Chad Gable hasn't been an impact player in a singles game as of right now, where Sami is like on his way up. He's on his rise, right? They're building Sami into a potential future world champion. So logically, having a shot at the IC championship at WrestleMania is putting him there, right? Whereas Gable is starting to make waves again as a singles competitor, so it's just not quite his time yet, right?
I mean, that's, yeah, I, yes, I agree.
I'm just thinking, like, I just from what I've watched with like Triple H's NXT, kind of the way that he structures things, like that, that seems to be like where this is going. But I get where fans are upset about it, because, you know, Gable had a hell of a match with Gunther a few months ago, and you've been waiting for him to get another opportunity, because I think a lot of people thought he was going to win that championship back then. And here he is potentially getting another chance. But man, I don't know. I mean, you could make an argument for almost any one of those guys that were in that match, but I'm happy to see Sami getting that spotlight. Like, I'm looking forward to see how he does. I mean, we've seen Sami have some bangers, and him and Gunther at a WrestleMania match given time, I mean, that could steal a show on either night that it's on.
And like, I don't think it's a given that just, oh, Sami's gonna win. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, definitely.
I feel like everybody's like, oh, well, it's finally time. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, the way they've been building Sami and everything. But yeah, I don't think it's a given.
Yeah, I don't either.
Now I would say he's the favorite over Gunther, just because, not in real life, just, you know, like, storyline wise, he's the favorite to win.
Yeah.
You know, company push wise, he's the favorite to win. But again, I can see Gunther retaining.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you there. And then, you know, we had Cody had this sit-down interview, and then we had Jay finally challenging Jimmy to a match at WrestleMania. You know, Cody's sit-down interview was good, but it still was more about him and Rock than him and Roman. So it was like, okay, you know what I mean? But overall, like, I thought, I really enjoyed Monday Night Raw. I thought it was a really solid show. NXT was a really good show, too, kind of building towards a big event.
Looks like we're going to get Trick versus Carmelo.
Yep.
At Stand and Deliver.
Yep. Yeah, Trick and Melo, and then you also got Tony D versus Ilya, that they're building to as well. And then, I'm trying to think, Thea Hale returned to form. Sean Spears had a good match against... Sean Spears is an interesting character right now in NXT.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I thought NXT was pretty decent. And then we got to last night. Big business, right? AEW's been touting this show and touting this show and touting this show. It is in Boston. All the font suggested we were going to get Mercedes Moné. It was not announced, even though she did an interview a couple days before confirming that she signed with AEW. So it's like you knew she was debuting at this show. She opened up the show, coming out. I don't, personally, I don't get the CEO gimmick. Do you?
No.
It seems like other people do, so maybe I'm just missing the boat. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
And I don't get, like, I feel like if you're a CEO and you're trying to present yourself as a CEO, you wouldn't have spray painted hair with, like, I don't know. Her look was a little interesting. But anyway, Mercedes Moné, formerly Sasha Banks, makes her AEW debut, confirms that she is All Elite. Cut a decent promo. Like, I thought it was good. It was heartfelt. I guess a lot of people did not care for her promo. Have you heard some backlash on that?
I have a little bit, but honestly, I thought it was she's not a good promo.
She never has been. Yeah.
But I thought it was actually a decent promo.
It just felt heartfelt and real, right? She just kind of went out there and said what she wanted to say. Like, I don't think she really, I don't know. I mean, you know, but yeah, I mean, I thought it was good too. Like, I don't know why people had such an issue with it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So she cuts her promo, does her thing, and then the night starts, man. I just really thought the pace of the show overall was really good. I thought the matches were solid. Wardlow and Joe, I thought was a good match. I was a little curious to why it opened the show as opposed to closing it, being a world title match, and then having the main event be Willow Nightingale and who'd she even face? Willow Nightingale. I thought that was an interesting choice for a main event. It made sense though, because honestly, like if Wardlow's not going to win, why is that going to be the main event? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Sorry.
No, you're good.
I'm in back and forth mute mode.
Oh, okay. I thought the whole thing with Okada and the Elite was a lot of fun. I'm kind of digging Okada as a character, and he kind of makes the Bucks more heelish, I guess. And some of the stuff they did, it was actually kind of comical and funny, but at the same time, it was like dickish too. So it was like
I'm digging him as a heel just because he's always been so heavy babyface, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. And he just, you know, he just has that kind of presence to him. And, you know, Tony Khan backed up the Brinks truck to get him, and they're trying their best to make it work. And, you know,
it's quite obvious they're building him to be probably the Continental Crown Champion.
Mm-hmm.
And which makes sense to me, you know what I mean? Like, if you're gonna showcase him with these titles, you know what I mean? Like, I just kind of wish they would just. I get the whole he's trying to act like All Japan's Triple Crown Championship.
Yeah,
and it's like, come on, just unify into one title. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like.
Kingston looks kind of ridiculous carrying all three titles out all the time. Right. Especially the way he comes down to the ring and is like throwing his arms around. It's like.
Yeah, unless there's some kind of agreement with New Japan and whatever. Like, I don't know. I think between that and I know we'll get to it, but like, obviously the whole Bang Bang Scissor Gang is no more. So I think we're going to get probably a unification there.
Yeah, unify that stuff.
So.
Yeah, and that was pretty much what ended up happening next was that match between Darby and Jay White. You know, Darby's pretty much swan song before leaving for a while to go climb Mount Everest. So hopefully we see Darby Allin back again. you know, sad to say, but there's been a lot of people that have gone to make that climb that have never come back. So there's still bodies like frozen to the side of the mountain. So
yes,
it's kind of scary, but anyway, you know, it was kind of interesting how that kind of came out of nowhere, but maybe they've been building it more on Dynamite, like hints of it and stuff like that. it seemed like Billy's kids for a second were maybe not going to side with the Bullet Club, but then ended up siding with them anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but man, like the other thing that I thought was notable from the show was Will Ospreay. Man, you know, dude has a lot of charisma, and his, you know, they're going to have to get him away from Don Callis because he is an uber baby face right now. Like,
oh yeah,
he is next to Swerve, probably almost the most over guy in the company. And he's only been there for 2 weeks. Like, it's pretty incredible.
Oh yeah. That's one thing I noticed with it too, was like, you know, it was talked about a lot too, was like how obviously WWE offered him a contract. It wasn't as much money. He took, you know, kind of took more money.
Yeah, more money and less dates.
Less dates, yes.
Yeah, you got a wrestling company offering wrestlers a ton of money with less dates. Stop me when you've heard this story before. Anyway, go ahead.
I think you just stopped yourself.
No, go ahead. You can. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but
yeah, but you know, it was incredible. Yeah, he's super. Like I said, he's. The way he wrestles, it is very spot besty, but like he tells stories in his matches. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, but he could wrestle so many different styles too. You know what I mean? He's tremendous.
Did you hear his interview with Jericho? He was on Talk Is Jericho this past week.
I have not heard it yet.
So. He did talk a little bit about his contract situation. So here's the thing too. And I think this more than anything, yeah, he did get offered more money and less dates. He did say that. He said, you know, WWE's offer wasn't quite as much, but the other issue with him is he does not want to move out of England because of the dates. Because the thing with WWE, and I think they still kind of operate the same way they used to, whereas you get like a downside guarantee and you get like guaranteed money, but then there's a whole bunch of other money that you can make on other things like licensing and stuff like that, where he probably would end up making more money, especially him being who he is and getting over the way he is. Like, I'm sure he probably would make more money, but he does not want to live in the US. If he worked for WWE, and especially like, you don't know because he's going to be over with the AEW audience because primarily the people that watch New Japan watch AEW too. There's not as much crossover, I think, with the WWE audience. So that being said, like, they would be taking a bigger risk on him because there is some unknown there. You don't know how the crowd is going to react to him. Now, most of us who watch him and know who he is, like, you know, you can usually tell. He's somebody that would get over there. It doesn't matter where he works, he's going to get over. Like, he's that talented, right?
Right, yeah.
Now, but I can see WWE's standpoint. Like, you haven't proved it on this level. Like, you need to prove it on this level. Then we'll back up the Brinks truck. But come here and prove it first. But he does not want to live in the U.S. He broke down on Talk Is Jericho about his relationship with his wife. She has a son that he's a stepfather to. And she's had a lot of traumatic things happen in her life, and they have a life and a support system in the UK. She would not have that if they moved to the US. He could not work a WWE schedule and live in the UK. So I think more than anything, that was his deciding factor. And he even said that in the interview too. And a lot of people that have posted about it online have kind of glossed over that fact. Like, he specifically said, you know, my family was the decision maker for me because this schedule allows me to be there most of the time. Like, I can come here and work for a few days and fly there. If we have a pay-per-view, if I have to stay for a week in a hotel, I can do that. But then I can fly home afterwards and be there until I have to come back for Dynamite. So he very much is of the mindset that, you know, he needs to be where he can be home more often, and that was the overwhelming decision and why he chose AEW, which I totally get it.
I get it, and I totally support that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, let's be honest, he's not to the level in that a WWE could bring him in as an attraction to where he could work for a couple of months and then take months off, you know what I mean? Like, he's not... as much as internet wrestling fans may see him as that, he's not that to a casual audience. He just isn't. You know, there's a lot of people that watch WWE TV that have never heard his name before.
That's kind of crazy.
Right. Up until a year ago, I had never really seen any of his matches. Like, I vaguely knew who he was, but I hadn't seen him perform. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, but and I watch more wrestling than what a lot of people who watch WWE do. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, I knew of Will Ospreay, but yeah, I'm the same boat. Like, I didn't really, you know. Because he was only, you know, yeah, he was in New Japan but he was mostly in that Rev Pro over in, you know, that British company. And who the fuck sees that?
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, it is what it is. Like, and good for him. Again, he got a giant payday. Here's my concern. I get that he's a billionaire, but where is he getting this money from, man? Like, is AEW really bringing in enough revenue to justify the contracts of just those three people? Not let alone, and I'm talking about Okada, Ospreay, and Monet. Let alone all the other people that they already have under contract. Like, is he, you know what I mean? Like, is it really that profitable of a business that they can sustain signing people? Like, Mercedes reportedly has a bigger contract right now than Roman Reigns. She's the highest paid woman in professional wrestling.
Interesting.
She might be one of the highest paid people in professional wrestling, but yeah, she's the highest paid woman in professional wrestling. But here's the thing, though. Like, her segment started off with 1 million people tuned in to see it. By the time the next segment started, about 200,000 of those people had turned it off. If you look at the quarterly hours, by the time you get to the main event where she makes an appearance at the end, I know I didn't see it, so a lot of other DirecTV stream people and maybe others didn't see it either. And the whole thing with recording the show afterwards not working. Like, I can't even find, like, it doesn't, yeah, whatever. But by the time you got to the end of the show, there was just over 600,000 people watching. So close to 400,000 people tuned out from the beginning of the show to the end of the show and never came back.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, you know, and you know, last week they advertised Okada, they advertised Ospreay, really did not do much to boost the ratings. Then they have Monet, you know, so we'll see. You know, they did a good turnout in the Garden, the TD Garden, but they've been advertising it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and people knew that Mercedes was coming. So I feel like a lot of ticket sales had to do with that. Do they sell that many ticket sales if it's not for that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. Yeah. It just I don't want AEW to go anywhere. I don't. My fear is, though, that they're almost self-sabotaging at this point, because if they still don't have, you know, even though Tony Khan has hinted that he has a TV deal, it's still not official, so you don't know what kind of revenue they're bringing in from a TV deal. And then at the same time, we don't know what the revenue from ticket sales can't be that much. I mean, there's some nights they're not even putting 3,000 people in these arenas. So it's like, where is this money coming from? If they don't have a TV deal, they're not doing good ticket sales. I know they're getting pay-per-view revenue, but they're paying millions of dollars a year to talent. So are they really bringing all that in? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't... I don't know. It doesn't make a lot. It almost makes you think of... Did you ever watch that documentary on OVW on Netflix?
Yeah.
So, obviously, the guys that kind of helped buy the business, like, were constantly losing money.
Right.
Now, you know, obviously, they had the money to spend, but they weren't making anything back from what they were spending. Now, it doesn't mean they were going broke, but it was, like, it's basically, like, you have a savings account, and you're fine, but it's like, okay, I need to dip in every 3 months to help pay these bills, and then over time, okay, I'm not you're not tucking anything back away. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like, okay, I took $500 out of my savings, but I, you know, I'm taking $500 out every 3 months, but then every however many months, I'm only able to put like $50 back in. Well, that's not, you're not gaining anything. You know correct. What I mean?
Yeah. So you're not able to sustain that account. Now, those guys in OVW, let's say they have $100,000, $200,000 in that savings account, maybe more. I mean, maybe they got $1 million, maybe 1.5. Tony Khan probably has a couple bill in his, so he can maintain it longer, but there has to be a certain point in time where you're just like, man, if I don't cut my losses soon, I'm not going to have an inheritance left. You know what I mean? It's like,
right,
you know, how long is he willing to do this? But if you were to listen to him, everything's hunky-dory and they're making money hand over fist and it's a profitable business, I guess just from what I'm seeing and what I know about business and contracts and, you know, I don't see how it's possible. But again, you know, their financials aren't public, so we really don't know. And even if they get a new TV deal, we may never know how much it's for, because they don't have to release that information.
That's the thing, is that they may not be really making any money, but he and his father or whatever, making money elsewhere to help fund it. You know what I mean? So it's almost like you're borrowing against something else to help fund this, to help out these people. You know what I mean? So it's almost like basically people. So it's kind of like this. It's like, for example, like, so, you know, my company was bought out by a bigger company a few years back. Now we're still kind of branded as us, but yet we're employees of this company.
Right.
The company I work, that company is actually owned by a bigger company. Okay. So like our company before we were bought was worth, let's say, $25 million. Okay. We were bought by a company that's worth $300-400 million, who is owned by a company that's worth $8 billion. That's a shoot. That's the truth. So it's almost kind of like that. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, it makes total sense. And it's like, but we're
holding up our end though, even though we're bought by this smaller company, we're holding up our end from our little building side that we're bringing in revenue. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but at what point though are they taking resources from the Jacksonville Jaguars or that football club that they own to put into AEW? And then at what point does it, like, well, you know, now these other businesses are suffering because we're committing so many resources to this business. You know what I mean? Like, I guess that would be
true, but like, if you look at like professional football or professional soccer team, like those, there would never be, you know, I mean, like that, like their revenue will never go away. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
Dad, so you can't sign Messi because I need to sign Okada.
Yes.
Or you can't go out and get who's like a top NFL coaching candidate. Like, you can't pull Belichick. Yeah, you can't go get Bill Belichick because I need to sign Mercedes Moné.
Yeah. So you have to go hire the local high school coach.
Yeah, watch your microphone, man.
Off my dad.
So yeah, man.
You watch your microphone.
Like, overall, like I said, it was a good show. Like, there was the Jericho and Hook had the tag match, and now they're gonna have match.
That was the one thing I wanted to bring up real quick before we, you know, close up. Was like, that was my only thing of the show that I didn't think was that great. I really think, from Jericho's standpoint, he really needs to either A, just take some time away so the fans miss him,
mm-hmm.
or he's the master of reinvention. Let's get some kind of reinvention of Jericho, because I think he's just kind of he's I know he's doing the Lionheart now and then, and everything. That's cool and everything. But like to me, like you do something like that, it should be like once in a blue moon type thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like when he does the Painmaker and you know all that stuff. Like
I feel like he's almost kind of going out on a swan song though, because he seems like he's just like he's going back to his roots and he's wrestling a lot of young talent right now. Like he wrestled that you know whoever that.
Atlantis Jr.,
who, you know, where he had history with his dad. Now he's wrestling Hook, where he's had history with his dad. It's almost like he's trying to, like, wrestle these, like, second-generation talents. And I kind of feel like maybe he is winding down a bit. Like, I can kind of see, you know, him either disappearing for a while or maybe just being done in ring pretty soon more than anything. But, I guess we'll see. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Do you see where Sammy Guevara got suspended?
I did.
So, I guess the long and short of that was Jeff was possibly concussed during the course of the match, so he wasn't even supposed to do his finisher on Jeff, but he did it anyway and then landed on his face and broke his nose like while he was possibly already concussed. So, yes, I thought that was kind of crazy. Like, you know, I guess if that's the case and that's how it happened, like, he should have been suspended because... You know, if there's protocols in place and you're not following them, then, you know, what good are you? So,
right, especially on somebody like Jeff, who's, you know, a veteran and has a hell of a lot of miles on his body. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
is probably, you know, even not that anybody's safe or susceptible from, you know, severe concussions or anything like that, but it's just, you know. But like you or I, if we were 15 years old and we hit our head against the wall, okay, we might have a little headache or whatever.
Yeah.
But we get over it pretty quick. But, you know, like at our age now, it probably knock us fucking silly forever. You know what I mean? So, right. Like, yeah, but yeah.
But then part of me almost wonders if it's a work and we'll start seeing him show up at New Japan with Jack Perry and they're going to be like suspended.
Scapegoats.
Yeah, the scapegoats. Like,
the suspendeds.
They went from being the four pillars to the scapegoats.
We need to trademark that.
The suspendeds or the scapegoats?
The suspendeds. The suspendeds. Nobody's ever had that name ever.
Yeah, all right. I like it. So they'll be the suspendeds, and, you know, it'll be a huge work, but, you know, who knows? I don't know. I guess for some reason I just thought about that.
You know, the funny thing is, too, the whole thing with Jack Perry, like, and this is not, I'm not trying to knock him or shit on him or anything like that. You know, he showed up doing the whole scapegoat thing. Guess what? Nobody cares.
Yeah, I mean, I since that one showing, what happened since
like,
then?
Like, that's the thing. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, compare that to, like, somebody like Nick Nemeth.
Yeah.
Look how great he's doing with TNA and New Japan. He's the global champion. You know what I mean? Like, so, hey, sorry, Jack Perry.
But yeah, I think Jack legitimately still works for AEW, though, because he even...
Oh, I'm sure he does.
I think Ospreay even kind of let the cat out of the bag on the podcast. Like, he said something like, oh, you know, I know Jack Perry's down there, so we still have that relationship with New Japan. We're sending talent there. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Thanks, Will, for blowing that one.
Yeah.
So
like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, bruv. So yeah, it is what it is. I think I was gonna say something else, but now I can't remember what it was because the suspended just ended up being such a good team name. I lost my train of thought.
I think we got it. I don't even think we want to call it the title of the show just because somebody's gonna be like, "Oh, that's a great fucking name."
The suspended. Well, at least if I make it the title of the show, it's at least linked to something that we have. So we
that can, is true.
Yes. If Tony steals this idea, we can at least say, "Hey."
Oh yeah, yep. We have it documented. So, Oh, I don't know if this is what you want to talk about, but I do like how Swerve came out.
Yeah, I was gonna mention Swerve. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm like that they're going back there. You know, obviously, I think like you've said, it's, you know, beginnings of him in a nice, you know, babyface run. But I want to say, I do want to compliment Samoa Joe. Like, he went from being basically a guy that took the title from somebody who was just really, really hurt to being a pretty, like, dominant champion, like, so far.
Yeah.
You know,
You know what I mean? Like, and I know it's been short and it has been, but he's had a pretty good title run. He's had some good promos, great, you know, matches. I do like the spot last night where he did the walk away and Wardlow.
Yeah.
didn't bite. Like, that was, I'll tell you what, again, the compliment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a match that, like, I was
solid,
like,
eh, match. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a solid match. Like,
and man, you like, know what made it even better, too? And this is just like a little throwaway thing, but the story time with Adam Cole before it setting the match up was awesome. Like, AEW hasn't done stuff like that in the past, and I think that's one of the reasons I like the show so much, because it was very story heavy and it set the tone for the match and, you know, told the story of Wardlow leading up to that point, so anybody that had never watched the show before could pick it up and be like, oh, okay, I get it now. You know what I mean? Like, it was so little, but it was just done so well, and it was good. I liked it.
Yeah. Hopefully, like I said, it's like I don't know. There's times where it's just like, oh God, I just can't even, like, I understand, like, they're not WWE, like, we can't, you know, you compare the two, but it's like, you got big enough names and stars and so much talent. So much talent that, like, can be, and you feel like Tony Khan would be somebody that will listen and stuff, that you're like, come on, all this talent, everything you guys can't collect, everything you've learned and stuff, like, you know what I mean? And sometimes you're just like, it's frustrating. That's what it is, more than anything. It's not even like, it's frustrating because it's like, AEW has so many glimpses and should be so much better than they are half the time, I guess. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. And I kind of said this because, like, I think because Lily was talking about Sasha showing up with AEW and my daughter, Lily, and said something like, she's like, I mean, do you even like AEW? I was like, I do. Like, I want AEW to be successful. Like, I think it's important for not only there to be, like, not necessarily competition, but to be something different, to be an alternative, to have a different place where wrestlers can go and be different characters and do different things. Like, that's one of the things that made, you know, the whole thing with WCW, WWE, and ECW at the time so great, is that you could see people show up on these different shows and they almost kind of transform and became somebody else. And I think that's important to have, but it's just like, but AEW has such a loaded roster. There's just, and you know, and they don't have room for everybody. And it's the same with WWE. They have an extremely loaded roster right now. Both companies really do in their own respects. And there's only so much TV time for these people. So it's like, you almost need another place for people to go and make a name for themselves. Like, look at Nick Nemeth or, you know, Ash by Elegance, aka Dana Brooke, or, you know, Mustafa Ali also, man, he's what, the X Division champion in TNA. Like, he's done a really good. So it's like, you need these alternatives for these people to kind of step out and shine and do something else. And maybe they end up back in one of the other companies. Maybe they don't, but at least they have another place that they can go and work. And fans can go see them, you know?
Look at this new faction that Moose has now. Him and his buddy Murphy and Chris Sabin, like, they're the tag champs now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a nice little, you know what I mean? Like, Moose is another guy. Like, that dude's, like, freaking nature. Like, you know what I mean? Like, imagine him in WWE. But, like, again, so much talent. The guy is, he's been and trying to make a name for himself there, you know what I mean? And
right,
I think I've heard interviews with him. He's like, you know, yeah, I've had opportunities to possibly try whatever, but, you know, he, you know, just doing his thing.
And sometimes guys like being the big fish in a small pond. Maybe they don't want to go to that bigger pond and potentially not reach that level, you know what I mean? And that's totally fine. Like, if you found your niche and you want to be there and you have fans that will go to see you there, like, that's, that I think is what is what's important. And in AEW, to be doing it on the scale they are, it is different. Now, my concern is, can they sustain it? And it's like, you know, toning down on the blood, toning down on the violence, you know, not having guys dive through, like, because it's like, they almost like shoot themselves in the foot constantly, because every time they do something great, something happens in the moment or in that moment that takes away from it, and that becomes the only thing people talk about. And it's just,
that's
like
the frustrating thing, and that's the frustrating thing with somebody like Darby, is that, like,
You know Darby can put on good matches. Mm-hmm. He's a good worker. Like, if he just had a, you know, he could do his little dive here or there, you know, during his match or whatever. And, he's high intensity. Like, I guarantee, like, he could put on a good 20-minute, like, wrestling match.
Yeah,
we've seen it.
Seen him have good matches without killing himself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, God, it's like, you know, it doesn't need to be every time. Mm-hmm. That, I think that's the frustrating thing.
He even had a spot on Dynamite where he did a coffin drop corner of the ring, like, God, the side of the ring. Like, it just, it looks so bad, man. Like,
I know.
So it's just, you know,
the thing is, you never know what somebody's thinking and if they think, like, okay, this is what I got. I mean, let's face it. Look at Mick Foley, mm-hmm. all those years as Cactus Jack, and doing. Now, he wasn't going through glass every night, but, like, all the things onto the concrete, the guardrails, like, he took everything stiff.
The Foley risk-reward ratio.
Yeah, and he said it didn't matter if he was in front of nobody. He still was doing it, you know what I mean? So, like, it's just sometimes they feel like they need to please people when they don't have to, but you know what I mean? But you still, it's a self-conscious thing. Probably.
Real quick on speaking of Foley, that you brought him up. Do you think he reaches his weight goal, and do you think we see him and Cardona have a death match before his 60th birthday? Have you heard about this?
If that's what he wants to do, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So his goal is to get. I think his goal is to get down
100 pounds.
Yeah, he's going to lose 100 pounds, and then he wants.
Yeah, he wants to get to like what 250 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's his motivation, is to have that match. I mean, that'd be great if it happens. So I hope it does for him. And, you know, Cardona would be the perfect opponent for that.
Oh, yeah. That'd be tremendous.
So, maybe Cardona and Ryder. Maybe they would be a surprise tag team. Or the Dudleys. What if it's the Dudleys in Philly?
Well, it can't be Cardona and Ryder.
I meant Hawkins, sorry. No, but dude, I just thought about this. What if it's the fucking Dudley boys? What if Devon and Bubba end up getting added to that ladder match in Philly? How fucking bananas would that crowd go?
Oof, yeah, Philly.
that would be it right there. If they were gonna Devon add still anybody
work backstage or no?
I don't know if he does or not. I think he did for a while, but I thought maybe they let him go or he was doing something else. I'm not sure, but dude, like if anybody were to do it, that would be the one to have would be Devon and Bubba.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So they just start carrying a table down to the ring. Like, I think that'd be cool. But you know. Probably won't happen, but you know,
honestly,
putting it out there in the universe, just in case.
Honestly, a good tag team would be Braun and Redbeard.
Oh,
as a tribute to Bray.
Yeah, yeah. If Braun's healthy enough to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Bray, I know we're trying to wrap up, but I brought this up, and now I was trying to go back and find it to confirm that he actually said this, but Meltzer's dumbass put it out there, apparently, that he doesn't think that Wyatt had enough of a career to be considered a Hall of Famer and to be put into the WWE Hall of Fame because WWE didn't allow him, you know, to flex his creative muscles enough to, like, build that career because he was released for a couple years and blah, 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 blah. I'm sick. Like, why bother saying something like that or tweeting something like that? Like, that's just so freaking dumb, in my opinion. And it doesn't hold any water because Wyatt was a creative genius. And had he had more time, I mean, how would he have not had a Hall of Fame career? I think everything that he did to the point spoke for itself because he, you know, in the short time that he was here, he did some really amazing things. So why diminish the dude's legacy or speak ill of the dead just to basically take a shot at WWE? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. I can't stand the dude.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that's all I got to say about that. If Bray Wyatt doesn't go into the Hall of Fame this year, it's because his family is not ready for it yet. You know what I mean? They need more time to heal. They need more time to process before doing that. And I've heard that might be the case, but
yeah, I mean, Mike Rotundo. Well, he's Mike Rotundo's finally going in. Barry's going in for the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this will be the second time Barry's going in.
Right, because he's a part of the Horsemen.
Horsemen one, yeah. So, which is cool. Like, that's awesome. Like, those are two of my favorites. Obviously, Barry Windham is one of my top favorites ever. I think we all know that.
Yeah.
No, he really is. Well, like, I kind of wish he was in by himself, but.
And Bray did make his return in Philly. And it was, you know, the same night that they announced that WrestleMania would be in Philly. So, I mean, it would be kind of, I guess, poetic to kind of bring it full circle if he were inducted into the Hall of Fame in Philly. But, I mean, I can understand if the family needed more time. You know what I mean? Like, they are supposed to announce one more inductee. So we got, Bull Nakano, which, you know, that's kind of cool that she's getting. I remember Bull from back in the day. Yeah. And then, you know, Rotunda, and they're going in as the American, what was their tag?
US Express.
Yeah, US Express. And
side note, did you know?
I was going to say the exact same thing you're about to say.
Real American. They actually came out to it a few times.
Yeah. WrestleMania 1, they came out to it, right?
No, so WrestleMania 1, they came out to Born in the USA.
Okay. It was like after that at some point.
Yeah, because, because Hogan was still, because Hogan actually still used Eye of the Tiger for WrestleMania 1,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't get Real American until right after. So
yeah, so yeah.
Thunderbolt Patterson, great legend from the past. Thunderbolt Patterson was big in like Georgia Championship Wrestling, that kind of area. Paul Heyman.
Going into the Hall of Fame. Who's going to induct Paul Heyman, do you think? Like,
oof. Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Who should it be? Oof.
There's so many, like, there's so many people that you're like, oh, wow, that could work. But then there's, then you're like, ooh, maybe not.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously not Brock.
No,
I mean, Roman. I mean, does Roman do it? I mean, Roman, maybe. I mean, I could see CM Punk. Mm. I'm just trying to think of people.
Punk would be a good one, but I could also see being like Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer would be.
Maybe Rob. Maybe they dust off Rob Van Dam, even though he's been with AEW for a little bit.
Yeah. It'd be awesome if they got like a bunch of the guys.
Yeah.
To just induct him, you know what I mean? Like,
somebody said how funny it would be if it was like Jim Cornette. Like, you have Paul Heyman and Jim Cornette with a line. Oh no, it was having the Midnight Express inducted, so that way Cornette would induct them, and then you'd have Cornette and Heyman with a live microphone on the same night.
Oh yeah. See Cornette would have to go in though with Midnight Express.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he had to go in. So
jeez, man. It's going to be interesting to see who inducts them. I'd be interested to see who inducts the American Express.
US Express.
US Express.
Not the credit card.
It's getting late, can you tell? The U.S. I'd be interested to see who inducts them, and same with Bull Nakano. Like, who would they have? Maybe they bring back Alondra.
Yeah, I would say
Medusa to do it. Yeah, Medusa could even be for Paul Heyman too. Like, there's a
I mean, she could.
I mean, you can even see Stone Cold inducting Paul Heyman.
Yeah, I can see Stone Cold. Yeah, I mean, Now that I think of it, I think Stone Cold would actually be one of my top.
Yeah.
Top ones.
And that would give him an excuse to be there too.
Yeah.
Because
he managed them and then started up the Dangerous Alliance after that too. So, which, like, one of these, I know it's getting late and keep talking, but like, talk about a great, underrated, amazing faction of all time, the Dangerous Alliance. But think about it. Who was in there? Stunning Steve Austin.
Mm hmm.
Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yeah.
Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
Beautiful Bobby. Larry Zbysko. and Medusa.
I mean, I think pretty much all of them are in the Hall of Fame right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty incredible, tremendous. Really, when you think about it.
Yeah. Okay, last thing on Dangerous Alliance. Go watch Wrestle War 92, the War Games match against Sting. And who is it? Sting, Nikita, and the Steiner brothers, I think.
Yeah.
Best War Games match ever.
All right. Good to know. Before we wrap up, have you been watching any of the Dark Sides of the Ring?
I have. I've watched both of them. The John Tenta one was good. It was kind of, you know, it was sad at the end, but it was, yeah. You know, it wasn't, I mean, he just was a stand-up guy. Yeah. It was kind of sad that he just didn't, you know.
Yeah.
Take care of himself.
And I felt like they really, like, tried to paint WWE as kind of like a villain for not doing more for him and his family and stuff, I mean, like that, but whatever. The whole Golga thing, like, oh, why'd you bring him back? Like, he wasn't Earthquake anymore at that point. Like, he had lost weight.
Right.
He just wasn't the same guy. You know what I mean? Like, but
right. Anyway. The Buff one was really good. Like, good on him, man. I'm glad he's doing good, and, you know, what a sucky, rough, you know, not crazy rough life, just kind of like, it's almost like kind of just, you kind of feel bad for him, some of the stuff, you know what I mean, and like, but I'm glad, like, you know, and honestly, you gotta hand it to somebody like Diamond Dallas Page, just because not only how many wrestlers he's helped out, but, like, how many people he's helped out. Like,
oh, without doubt, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just amazing. I'm glad he's sober, and I know he's been sober for a while. And
dude, that whole story about him shooting his dad and, like, all that shit, like, that was crazy.
That was fucking nuts. I knew he loved Judy Bagwell, but shit.
And then his buddy talking about how he came to Buff's house and Judy was shaving his nuts.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Well, you've heard that on 83 Weeks, right? Like, from Conrad?
No.
What happened when?
Oh, no, I don't remember. Oh, yeah, they talked some of the
early episodes or whatever, they always talk about Judy Bagwell, because there was something with Judy Bagwell they were watching or something, and Conrad always talks about shaving Marcus's bag. Yeah, there's a whole thing on there. Oh, yeah, I knew that story. Yeah.
That's funny. And then there was the...
the funny part is that she just looked at him and said, oh, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. It's like, nothing's wrong with this picture at all.
I'll tell you what, like, I know that was comical and stupid, like, her being a tag champion and everything, but, like, looking back on that, like, even watching highlights of it the other night, like, she did a pretty good job. You know, for never really being on TV and stuff, like, she did a pretty good job. You know what I mean? In her role. So.
It was still a shitty idea, though. Come on, man.
Well, yeah, it was a shitty idea, but, like... She could have been a complete fuck up.
I know. I mean, they really put her over in the show, though, too. And the stories from his dad were really interesting. And I didn't know that he grew up, like, basically rich. Like, his dad was, like, a famous, like, driver and stuff like that. Like,
yeah. That's, no idea.
That's crazy.
And they had a business. And,
yeah. So, and then, you know, for him, I was a little disappointed they exposed the show Gigolos on Showtime as a work. So, oh, those guys really aren't meeting women and just having random sex with them? Like, that was just put on for the show?
I know.
But then, so he's like, oh, yeah, I didn't really have sex with her on the show, but then he, like, legitimately went to work for them and was, like, legitimately doing that. So it was like, oh, you were just making an appearance on the show, but then just happened to stumble into working for them? Like, that didn't make sense at all.
No, it didn't. And I didn't know he was still married at the time when he was doing that.
Yeah, that I did not know either. But it was kind of like both of his ex-wives, though, like, spoke very lovingly about him. Like, even though he kind of, like, was the reason their relationships all fucked up, like, they were both like, I still love the guy. Like, he's still a great guy.
Yeah, I know. Really odd.
But, yeah, I mean, and he is. Like, he's a very charismatic person, and... You know, his unfortunately his demons just kind of got the better of him, and that's that. And I think that, you know, I think had he not had those struggles, like, I don't know if he, maybe he realizes it now, but when WWE let him go, I think that's why, you know what I mean, like, he just wasn't Because when you watch that match with Booker, I know he said in the show, like, oh, I thought it was a decent match. It was not. And you could tell it was because of him. Like, Booker was trying to carry him in this match. And he just did not look like the Buff Bagwell we had been used to seeing in WCW. So I think maybe had he been clean, he might have had a run and maybe his life would have turned out differently. But, you know, you unfortunately can't look at things that way. It turned out how it turned out, right? So,
yep.
But good for him for getting his shit together and getting clean. And he looked good in the show. I think the best I've seen him look in a very long time. You know, mm-hmm. when he's doing that interview. So, and I know there's a story he fell off the wagon maybe one or two times, but it seems like he's back on the straight and narrow now. And I know Jake said he fell off a bunch of times too in his journey with Dallas, and maybe not all of that was, you know, public, but he's, you know. And even Scott was still drinking up until the day that he died. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, good for him. And that episode, I'm curious to see some of the episodes going forward. Like, none of them have really been too, like.
So the Terry Gordy one next week, it should be a good one.
Yeah.
You know, some of the stories we're probably going to hear about him. I've heard a lot of stories. And then obviously, you know, what happens to him, you know, right before last few years of his life and stuff is crazy. So
yeah,
know a little bit of it.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit of it too from like Mick Foley and stuff like that. Like, I guess when he came in for his role when he was the executioner during that short time, like he had suffered like a very like traumatic like health event where he almost died.
Well,
and
he overdosed crazy. Like, he was like pretty much dead. And like, he just, it's almost like he just went brain dead, and just like, it's almost like he was like living with like dementia type. Just was
like, he suffered some severe damage and just never recovered from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like he was kind of like a walking zombie in a way.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to see that episode. So I'll look forward to that. But yeah, man, that's all I got. You got anything else you want to bring up before we close it out?
No, I'm ready.
You're ready to go to bed. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Share it with your friends. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe. Same as Spotify, whatever other app that you listen to us on, make sure you subscribe. Comment about how you like the show. Sometimes I'll post a poll. Sometimes I'll post a question. You can answer the question, give us some feedback and interaction. Leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts, and also find us on X. At Live Your Gimmick, that's the at symbol followed by LIVYOURGIMMICK. We'll be back next week, hopefully at full capacity, with Riley. Our third man, unfortunately, did not make it for this episode. It is what it is, but you know.
That's Jason's way of saying, fuck you, Riley.
No, it was more, fuck you, Michael, for not showing up. But
yeah, I figured it was
Michael. I was trying to reunite the less sexy co-host, but he couldn't get himself free, but... So make sure you tune in next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about the road to WrestleMania. We'll touch on a little bit what's going on with AEW, and maybe we'll find some fun and interesting things to talk about throughout this week in the world of professional wrestling. So until next week, I am Jason for Kevin, reminding you to be a fan and always live your gimmick. Goodbye, everybody. And stop.